Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
And in the end, Jesus said it earlier in this gospel. He said, in the end, men will be condemned, not primarily for their sins, but for the one sin, the sin of having had light come into the world, but men loving darkness rather than light.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on John chapters 14 through 16 in a message titled, Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now here's Pastor Brian.
And then what happens is people see that and they say, you know, that's not the Holy Spirit. And then they go to an extreme and say, there is no ministry of the Holy Spirit for today. That passed, and so we shouldn't look for any of that, you know, supernatural kind of activity. We shouldn't be looking for the gifts or anything like that. That's all from another age, and we don't have any of that today. And that's another extreme. And that's not right either. We have to come to the biblical balance. There is a present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. There is the power of the Holy Spirit. There are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that in our next study. But as Paul would go to great lengths to tell us, he said, all these things must be done decently and in order. And he said, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, people aren't just taken over by the Holy Spirit and, you know, uncontrollably then going into these kinds of things. Some people have been afraid, oh, I don't know, I don't really want to have an experience with the Holy Spirit because I don't want to lose control. The Holy Spirit will take control of me and I'll do some bizarre thing. No, that's not what happens. Because the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God does not take us over to the point where we lose control. He lets us maintain control. But we'll talk about that when we get to the gifts. But going back here to the promise of Jesus, he said that he would give another helper and that he would abide with you forever. So Jesus is going to leave, but he gives the assurance, the Spirit, when he comes, he will remain with you permanently. He will never leave. And so the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the apostles 2,000 years ago, that same Holy Spirit is with us tonight. He's still with us, and he will be with us until the end of the age. Remember, Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He was talking about his presence being with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, he also here refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And this is vitally important. What does this tell us? It tells us that where the Holy Spirit is truly at work, truth will prevail. Truth will be prominent. Truth will be the foundation of everything that's going on. So again, when you have ministries that are led into deception and promoting deception, doesn't matter what kind of spiritual activity might be going on or how supernatural the atmosphere might seem to be, this is what you can know. This is not the Spirit of God. You see, the reality is, demons, they will come and they will seek to bring a false experience to people and have people think that it's the Holy Spirit. Satan is an imitator. He's a counterfeiter. And so there's a Holy Spirit, there's going to be an evil spirit. And God will work through the Holy Spirit, and the devil will bring along the evil spirits and try to imitate what God is doing. But it's not holy, it's not pure, it's not based on truth, it's not righteous, it doesn't promote Jesus Christ and bring glory to him. He is the Spirit of truth. And this is why He blesses and honors those who gather around his word, because the word is his truth. And so the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with his word, the word of truth. But the world cannot see him, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. And Jesus said to them, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now you see, at that time, the Holy Spirit had not yet indwelt them, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Spirit was with them at this point. He was alongside of them. Now, since Jesus died, rose again, and ascended, and since the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that experience of the Holy Spirit being with us is no longer really the case, except in the sense that the Holy Spirit is with us when convicting us and leading us to Christ. But Jesus isn't talking about that in this particular situation. Here he's talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is with them, alongside them, even helping them at that time. Because remember, they went out. They went out to share the gospel. They went out to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to do all the things that Jesus was doing. And they were doing that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who was with them, alongside of them. But once Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit was then sent. And actually, once he died and rose again, the Spirit came in the indwelling sense. He said, the Spirit is with you, and he will be in you. And we read in John chapter 20 of how Jesus, after he was resurrected, he met with his disciples in that upper room. And maybe you remember, it says that he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit took up residence in them. The Holy Spirit began to indwell them. It was at that moment that they were born of the Spirit. Now, of course, they're walking through this historical situation. We have come along much farther down the road. So for us, the moment we receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit comes and dwells within us. He shall be in you. Every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him or her. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, then you're not a child of God. You're not a Christian in the biblical sense. Because everyone who receives Christ has the Spirit dwelling in them. So the Holy Spirit indwells us. He comes and takes up residence within us. Now, over in verse 26 of this same chapter, Jesus tells us more about the ministry of the Spirit. He says, these things I have spoken to you, verse 25, while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So here's another facet of the work of the Holy Spirit. He will, first of all, teach you all things. It's the Holy Spirit who is our teacher, really. The reason I can teach and the reason you can learn is because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, the natural man, according to Paul, does not receive the things of the Spirit. He can't even really know them. They're foolishness to him. And maybe you remember a time in your life when the things of the Spirit seemed foolish to you. None of this stuff made any sense. You didn't know the significance of Jesus Christ. You couldn't understand the gospel. And you would hear this stuff, and it just seemed like it went in one ear and out the other, and there just seemed to be a sort of a shroud of darkness over your mind when it came to understanding these things. But something happened. You came to that moment where you cried out to the Lord and you received Christ. And all of a sudden, it was like the lights went on. And then you began to read the Bible and it made sense to you. And it all became so clear. Or maybe it's all becoming so clear. And you're thinking, how could I have missed this before? How come I didn't see this? Why wasn't I able to grasp it? Because you didn't have the Spirit dwelling in you. But now that the Spirit is in you, the Spirit is teaching you. He's opened your understanding. He's revealing these things to you. And now it's all making sense. It's all becoming clearer and clearer. So he teaches us all things. And Jesus said he will bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Now, we have this experience. I think, again, right here, Jesus is telling the apostles something specifically. But we have that same kind of experience. The Holy Spirit would come and teach them all of the significance of the death and the resurrection of Christ and all of those things that they really didn't understand at the time. And they would understand it later through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then they would write it out in the pages of the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit would also bring to the remembrance of the apostles the words of Jesus and those things that he did while they would be penning those things. And so we read about the scriptures that the scriptures are God-breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, the translation is they are God-breathed. So God's breathing upon these men, and the Spirit is bringing to their remembrance the things that Jesus said, the details of all of those things that transpired and all of the things that he said. But we have something that is similar. We find the Holy Spirit teaching us, but we also find the Holy Spirit bringing things to our remembrance, don't we? How many of you have had those times when you're in a conversation with somebody or you're sharing the Lord with somebody and this information is just coming to your mind and you're telling people things that you're thinking, wow, I didn't know I knew that. That is great. And on another occasion, you might not even be able to recall it. You know, there are times, it's so funny, there are times when I will just, you know, sort of be brain dead, really. And I can't think of a scripture to save my life. You know, seriously. When I was in Brazil, we were doing an outreach on the street, and my son and Dave Escalante, they were doing some music, and so I was going to step up in a second and preach. I couldn't think of a single verse to preach on out of the whole Bible. I was just standing there going, okay, now wait, Genesis, let me... maybe John, isn't there something like, you must be born again? I mean, I was just completely brain dead. And, you know, I think there was a bit of warfare going on as well. It was just like my whole brain was scrambled. And so you have those kinds of experiences. And then there are other times as the Spirit, you know, comes upon you, you don't necessarily feel any great emotion or any warm kind of a feeling, but all of a sudden your mind, you're just like a computer. And everything just coming out so clearly and so profoundly. And it's the very thing that that person that you're talking to needed to hear. That's the Holy Spirit bringing those things to our remembrance. And then he said that the Holy Spirit would testify of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit, again, his ministry is really to testify of Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit not only helps us in our own understanding, in our own ability to communicate. The Holy Spirit not only helps us in giving us power to be his witnesses and things like that, but the Holy Spirit also works upon the unbeliever. And this is what we're told as we move into chapter 16. In chapter 16, verse 7, look at what Jesus said. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying it's actually going to be a better situation. I know you can't understand that now. It's hard for you to imagine how anything could be better than the present situation. But Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because I'm going to send you the Helper. Now remember, all of this teaching is in preparation for what's going to come in the future. And what's going to come? They're going to be sent out. They're going to go out with this message of salvation to the whole world. That's what the church is all about. The church is to be about getting the gospel out to the world. That's why we're here. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing our job, because that's what we're supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit was sent to help us to do that. Now, Jesus is going to go on and tell us that part of the help that the Holy Spirit gives us is in regard to the people that we're sent to. And oh, how great that is, because, you know, if it was up to us to convince them, it would be impossible. But the Holy Spirit helps with those that the gospel is going to come to. And listen to what Jesus said here. He says, and when he has come, the Holy Spirit, verse 8, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. One of the things that we often take upon ourselves is the burden of trying to convict people of sin. Have you ever done that? It's not fun. It's not fun for them, and it's not fun for us, because they end up really irritated by us. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, I can't convict somebody of sin. Now, God can use me. The Holy Spirit can use me. I can be an instrument through which conviction will come. But in the end, it's the work of the Spirit of God to convict men of sin. And so when I see somebody doing something, I don't have to walk by and go, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, that's bad. You shouldn't say that. You know, the fact of the matter is, if I'm filled with the Spirit, oftentimes it's just the very presence of a believer that will bring that conviction to a person's life. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Listen to what Jesus said. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So what does that mean? Well, sin because they believe not in me. This is the great sin. The great sin is rejecting Jesus Christ. This is the sin that the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of. And in the end, Jesus said it earlier in this gospel. He said, in the end, men will be condemned not primarily for their sins, but for the one sin, the sin of having had light come into the world, but men loving darkness rather than light. The great sin is the sin of refusing to receive the grace of God through Jesus Christ. So the Spirit comes to convict men of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is convicting men of. The sin of unbelief, the sin of refusing to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the thing that the Spirit is bringing ultimately upon a person. Now, it doesn't mean that he's not also convicting them of other sins, but the goal is not to simply get them to stop committing those other sins. The goal is to get them to come to Jesus. You see, that's why I was saying, if you go out and you tell somebody, hey, you know, you shouldn't be drinking. You better stop drinking. God hates drunks. Okay, I don't want God to hate me. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm not going to be a drunk anymore. So they stop drinking. So now what? They're sober, but they're still lost. So you see, so often what happens is we end up concentrating on the wrong thing. Hey, you shouldn't be talking like that. That's filthy language. God hates that. Oh boy, okay, I don't want God to be mad at me. I'm going to stop talking like that. And there have been times when people can, you know, go around and you can sort of convince people to clean up their act. And sometimes people can clean up their act. They can stop drinking, they can stop cussing, they can stop smoking, they can stop doing all those things. But that doesn't result in their salvation, does it? You see, we're not on a moral campaign. We're going for something greater than that. Something deeper than that. Men have to come to Jesus. You can be the straightest guy in the world. You can be, you know, just Mr. Straight-Laced and end up in hell. Well, I never did any of those things. I didn't have any of those vices that all these other people had around me. That, in the end, is not really the issue. The real issue is Jesus. And that's where God is, through the Spirit. That's what he's bringing men to ultimately, to understand their need for Jesus. He says he will convict men of righteousness. And what this means is that God is showing men through the work of the Holy Spirit that the righteousness that he requires is beyond anything they're able to attain. Convict the world of righteousness, Jesus said, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Jesus went to heaven. He's the only man that ever went to heaven. And what is that telling the world? That's telling the world the only way you're going to get to heaven is to be as righteous as Jesus. But of course, we have the problem of sin. So I can't be as righteous as Jesus. So it looks like I can't get to heaven. Well, I can't get to heaven on my own. But if I put my trust in Jesus, I can get to heaven through him. And that's what the Holy Spirit is convicting men of righteousness, that the righteous standard that God accepts is nothing less than the perfect life of Jesus Christ. And unless a man has lived a perfect life, never thought, said, or done a single thing contrary to the perfect nature and will of God, that person has no hope. And of course, that leaves us all in trouble because none of us have done that. But Jesus did it. And he went to the Father. And the righteousness that he has, he will give to us who put our trust in him. And that's really what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about the righteousness of Christ being put on the account of a sinner and God accepting me on that basis. And so the Holy Spirit convicts men and convinces men of these things and then of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict men of the fact that there is a judgment coming. You know what we need today? We need a fresh visitation of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Because we live in a world where people aren't concerned about righteousness and they're not concerned about judgment, and that's something that they've just put out of their minds for the most part, or at least outwardly, seemingly. And so, again, we go out and we, you know, go out and try to get people to realize their need, and so often it just seems like it's falling on deaf ears.
For the month of October, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee. Do you desire greater understanding of the Word of God? And do you want your life to reflect that greater understanding? Then this comprehensive, easy-to-use guide will help you explore biblical doctrine and explain complex theology in everyday language. It addresses biblical teaching on issues such as authenticity of the Bible, the purpose of mankind, the nature of angels, the fall of Satan, and virtually every major doctrine in Scripture. This is an excellent resource to open up Scripture as never before. The book Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-800-800. 833-6443. And don't forget to visit backtobasicsradio.com, where you can sign up for Pastor Brian's free daily email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.